Hello and welcome to Just Markets 365, your one-stop shop for investment news and analysis. Welcome everyone. Today is May 24th, 2019. We're going to talk a lot about the economy today, and we're going to talk about the markets a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the risks associated with this economy. Our last episode, last week, we talked about that the economic indicators are showing real weakness. Today we're going to show some more data that is supporting that thesis, right? We are seeing a lot of weakness in the economy. And so in the last episode, just to kind of go back and, you know, kind of talk about that, in our last episode, we talked about the retail sales numbers, the industrial production number, the capacity utilization number, and business inventories were all showing major signs of weakness. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of this detail today because if you want to get into it, you can listen to our last episode from May 15th, and really that will tell you exactly what I was talking about. So we are seeing some major signs in the economy that is showing major weakness. And in our last episode, we talked about our market expectations. We saw that the market bounced off our support level right above the 2800 number on the S&P 500. That's the 2800 number on the S&P 500. And it kind of bounced back up from there a little bit. But now, and then we also expected the market to be range bound from there, and more risk to the downside than to the upside from there. So since last week, what we've seen the market is, it's been in a range bound environment, and it's also is now we're closer to that support level again, even though we had a good bounce and went up a little bit, but we definitely did not break through the top of the, you know, at 2951 on the S&P 500, nowhere near it really. So we are seeing a lot of weakness both on the economic indicator side, and we saw a lot of weakness on the market action side. The only positive news that we got last week was the builder sentiment, which is much better than expected, and that was the only positive news. Now, so what we've seen so far since then and now is, and now let's fast forward to today and this week and what we've seen. We've seen further breakdown in the economic data. Now, for those of you don't know what we're talking about, so economic data are some of the economic indicators that the government releases when it comes to different aspects of the economy, and we look at those and we determine on how the economy is doing, and that determines on how what the market's going to do, or the market is doing, or what the market is pricing in, right? So what we've seen is we've seen a continued weakness of the economic data. Now, in our previous shows, we have talked a lot about a lot of indicators and have detailed and defined them. I'm not going to do it in every episode, so today we're just going to list some of those indicators, right? So you can either Google them, or you can go back to our previous episodes where we talked about them, and I've definitely documented them in the description notes, and you can look at what we talked about, and I define them and see, and I tell you guys what is good and what is bad, and what information are we getting from each of the different indicators. So the Chicago Fed National Index for April came in at negative 0.45. The previous number was 0.05. So this number came in much weaker. This activity index number on Monday this week that came in was much weaker than expected. We had the existing home sales number came in at an annualized rate. We're selling 5.19 million homes. The previous forecast was 5.35 million, so the number was a lot weaker. Not only that, the previous number for the previous month of March, the number was 5.21 million. So the annualized rate actually dropped from March for existing home sales, right? And I've said this many times, but I'm going to say it again. Home sales are the biggest indicator for economic activity, for job growth. And there's some major issues here in the home sales area where the activity is not picking up. We should be somewhere around 6 million homes, but we're getting closer to 5 million annualized home sales here. And that's why you're seeing a lot of weakness here in the markets and in the economy. Next number I want to look at is the weekly jobless claims number. Now, this number was better than expected. Came in at 211,000 jobless claims were made, and the expectation was 217. Now, this number is a weekly number, so there's a lot of variability here. But this number continues to stay strong. The next one is the manufacturing PMI. This is a flash one. This is like the early advanced number. And this number, the previous number was 50.2, and this number came in at 50.6. So the previous number was 52.6, and this number came in at 50.6. So what we're seeing is that the manufacturing sector, if this number is anywhere near accurate, is manufacturing is expanding at a snail's pace. So going back to, if the number is below 50, that would mean that the manufacturing sector is contracting. If the number is above 50, that means it's expanding. And the number is right at 50, that means that the manufacturing sector is kind of neutral. It's not expanding or contracting. So what we're seeing is that the manufacturing sector, where it was, you know, last year of, you know, 55, 56, 59, now we're at 50.6, very close to neutral rate, meaning that is expanding, but at a snail's pace, which is not a good sign for the economy as a whole. And then we have the services PMI that also only is expanding at 50.9, and the previous number was 53. So what we're seeing is that we're seeing the service sector and the manufacturing sector, both the services sector and the manufacturing sector, both are expanding at a snail's pace. Not a good sign. And then we have new home sales. Now, new home sales, again, these are major purchases of brand new homes. The previous number was 723,000 at an annualized rate. That number has come all the way down to 673,000 at an annual rate as of April. So very, very weak number. And I'm not happy about these numbers. Looks like we are going to really, really get close to a possible recession here. And the likelihood of a recession has definitely increased here due to this economic data number. Now, the last two numbers I want to talk about is durable goods and core capital goods orders. Now, durable goods are goods that people buy that last a bit of time, for like a computer, refrigerator, oven, microwaves, things like that, that are, you know, that you buy that will last you for a few years, right? Or even a car, of course, right? Or tools, things like that. So this number for April came in at -2.1. The previous number was 1.7. So what we're seeing is that some serious contraction in the durable goods order number. Now, I was expecting to see some bounce here, but now we have been weighted down. So a part of the durable goods order number is what we call the core capital orders, right? Which is, core capital is like are goods that will last a long time, like airplanes, right? And if you know anything about the Boeing 737 MAX issue, a lot of the orders there, a lot of the have really been coming down. And that's why you're seeing this core, that's one of the reasons why you're seeing the durable goods number really decline, is because one of those bigger purchase items, like an airplane, those orders are declining. And that's why you're seeing some major weakness in this number, and in the core capital goods order number, which came in at negative 0.9, and the previous number was was up 0.3%. So a lot of negative in this week in the economic data. And as you're seeing the market react to it, the market has declined this week and last week. Now, a lot of the headline news is all about tariffs, but we are looking at fundamentals, right? We have tariffs and then we have fundamentals. Both are negative for the economy right now. So we're seeing that the tariffs are really affecting our economy. Now, I want to go back and talk about GDP, its components, and then kind of back this information into the GDP. So if you remember, the way a GDP is calculated, it's C plus I plus G plus NX, right? So the C is consumption, right? Like what you and I buy at the store, at Walmart, Target, Macy's, Nordstrom's, auto, you know, at the dealerships for autos or homes, things like that. I is for private investment. So that's investing, business investing in manufacturing, inventories, things like that. So, you know, or business buying up commercial property or opening more industrial plans to manufacture. Well, that's your investment. That's private investment. Then you have government spending. And the government spending is really broken out into two aspects. It's government consumption, like, you know, what they're spending money on and then what they're investing in, right? So that's two components. That's the G. And then you have NX. So NX is net import exports, basically. If we are exporting more than we're importing, that's a positive contribution to GDP. If we are importing more than we are exporting, that's a negative contribution to GDP, right? So that's what this trade war is all about. It's about getting this net export numbers, detraction of GDP lower. And we know why we need it. We understand the concept around GDP. But the major issue here right now is the fact that we are having a slowdown in the economy because of the uncertainty and the way this trade dispute is being handled. So going back, so consumption, the C, right? So last week we talked about retail sales. We talked about existing home sales this week, and we saw, and today we're talking about some of the durable goods order. Now, if consumption was higher, then you would probably see the durable goods orders much higher, meaning that businesses need more product to stock their shelves so they can sell. Existing home sales weakness really leads to consumption weakness, and retail sales weakness from last week definitely tells you that there is weakness in the consumption component of the GDP number. You know, we've talked about Amazon, we talked about Walmart. They're all raising prices to the consumer because they can no longer withstand the extra cost of the tariffs, right? So remember, tariffs are a tax on you as the consumer, on me as the consumer. We are going to pay more. So whatever effect the Trump tax cuts had last year on the economy, these tariffs are now taking over and are costing us more than the benefit we have received. So based on the current levels of tariffs, right, the 25% on the 200 billion some odd goods, the average American is paying about $800 to $900 per person additional in cost of goods. That's the average, right? So that's how much it's costing us. So that's a tax increase for the average American. And that's how you're seeing consumption really, really get hurt here. And then the other aspect of this is the I, right? The private investment, business investment. Now, businesses don't invest in their companies unless they know that they'll get their return on investment, right? No business is going to invest in the company unless they can predict the investment return. Now, there are risks associated with it. I agree, but no business is going to invest unless there is some certainty around the economics of things, right? So we're seeing manufacturing weakness and we're seeing durable goods weakness again here, right? So we're not seeing a lot of durable goods orders come through, and we're seeing the manufacturing indexes that are really showing a lot, really a growth of at a snail's pace. So what happened? So, well, we have these tariffs again. Let's go back to the tariffs. So we now know on how tariffs and these taxes are hurting the consumer. Now let's talk about on how they're hurting private investment. The way they're hurting private investment is if a business can't have certainty around on what they can import. For example, let's say we have Fridgegate, or we have Kenmore, or whatever, the washing machines or refrigerators, right? Now, if we don't have if these businesses don't have certainty around the parts, because most of these parts are imported from overseas, right? They may be assembled here in the U.S., but they're imported from overseas, and mostly from China, because they can manufacture things much cheaper. And so if there's uncertainty around what the parts will cost, and uncertainty around on how much they'll be able to sell, the businesses are not going to manufacture as much, right? They need certainty if they're going to make investments. And so it'd be one thing if the U.S. government comes out and says, all right, we're going to raise tariffs on all Chinese imports to 25%, right? Okay, business will go, okay, we're going to pay more for all these things. But the U.S. government will come out and say, that's going to stay there until anything changes indefinitely, right? That change is indefinite. Let's just say, hypothetically, that is the case. Businesses will go, okay, let's figure out on how we can adjust to this change, right? Let's invest. Let's open up, manufacturing plants here, or let's get more parts from a local manufacturer for the same parts, because now that increase of cost, let's just get it from here, that kind of thing, right? So the business will say, okay, they'll figure out ways to do it in order to adjust to the change. But now, right now, what you're having is you're having this uncertainty around how long these tariffs are going to stay, right? The uncertainty around it. So they increased to 25% from 10%. Now businesses don't know, is it going to be around for a month or 2 months? Because if they go out and do a contract with a domestic company that's charging a little bit more, and in 2 months that changes, that domestic manufacturer, this manufacturer that's buying these products, like Kenmore is buying products, parts from a local manufacturer. Now that now they have to have a contract for at least a year, probably, or 2 years. Now they're stuck with the higher cost, even though the Chinese manufacturer is selling the same parts for a cheaper price, given the fact that the tariffs may actually only last for 2 months, right? So a business cannot make that decision because there's uncertainty around how long these tariffs are going to last. So it would be prudent for the administration, for the government, to say, hey, these tariffs are going to be here for a while, and just expect them to be here so the businesses can adjust to it. That uncertainty around what the price of the input product is going to be for the wages or these parts is creating more turmoil in the economy. So, if you want to fight these tariff wars, just increase the tariffs and keep them constant until you have a deal, and don't keep talking about it. The more verbiage, the more back and forth, banning this and banning that, and why it's creating more uncertainty around everything, and you're seeing the market react to it. If you just say, I'm raising tariffs to 25% because we need to get this fixed, and period, and I don't care how long it takes, it's going to happen. That's fine. We understand the issue, but create some certainty around it. And if you create that certainty around the tariffs, it's going to help businesses invest in the U.S., in their own businesses, so they know on how much they can invest and what the ROI is going to be. So, and then you have the G, the government spending again. Now, that hasn't changed a whole lot, so I'm not too worried about government spending. That's definitely not going to decline. If anything else, it seems like it's increasing again. So that's going to be a positive contributor to GDP. And then you have import exports. Import exports are probably going to be, for the annual rate, it's still going to be negative, even though because we still buy a lot more from overseas than we export out. So, and especially not exporting a lot of Boeing planes, that's gonna really affect the net export number. It's gonna be much more negative than it has been in the past. So what has happened is, you know, today we had a major U.S. bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, came out and revised their second quarter forecast, and they slashed their forecast from 2.25% to 1%. Let me repeat that. Their initial forecast for the second quarter was 2.25%. Now they're expecting growth in the second quarter to 1%. 1%. Now, if you were a listener of this podcast for the past few weeks, you knew this is not a surprise. But the fact that a major U.S. bank, probably the largest U.S. bank, is coming in and stating that the economy is slowing down significantly. And we have just talked about all the reasons why. There's no excuses here. We're looking at the facts. We're looking at the Chicago Fed National Activity Index. We're looking at existing home sales. We're looking at the manufacturing sector. We're looking at the home sales sector. We're looking at retail sector, durable goods, everything, right? That's all slowing down. And the economy was weaker than reported in the first quarter. And we talked about that. And these tariffs are going to further be a headwind for economic growth. So if you're asking me in the next 6 months, what are the chances of a recession? I would say are pretty high. I was probably beginning of the year, I felt like there's probably a 30% chance for a recession. Now I'm probably at 50-50%. There's a 50-50 chance now we could have a recession here in the US in the next 6 months. Now what happens next? Let's talk about that. So next, let's just talk about what are the risks. Further escalation of tariffs, right? So, you know, instead of just, you know, putting tariffs on, you know, $250-$300 billion goods, we go and put, you know, 25% tariffs on all $540 billion of Chinese goods. Yeah, that's a risk. We could definitely go into a recession because at least in the short term, because you're going to have the consumer behavior change, they're going to buy a lot less. That's 70% of our economy, right? So that's really going to have a major effect. And the other part is that how is China going to retaliate to the U.S. government banning Huawei really from doing any business in the U.S. or with the U.S. companies, right? Are they going to restrict Apple? Are they going to restrict Qualcomm, which does a lot of business in China, right? You know, how about all the semiconductors, NVIDIA, and you know, all the other manufacturers that manufacture a lot of their products there? Are they going to limit and restrict businesses there? And that's going to have a major, major effect on U.S. companies and earnings, right? So there is a lot of risk right now in this market, and you have fundamentals that are slowing down. Earnings for the S&P 500 companies came in much better than expected, no doubt. But you have other fundamental information and risks out there that are really, really affecting this market. And that's why I continue to believe that we are in a really tough economic environment, and there's a lot of risks to the downside than to the upside. So I continue to believe, I hope this is not the case, but I'm expecting further weakness in the economy. I'm expecting further weakness in the markets as a whole. So from a technical standpoint, we're seeing a lot of technical indicators showing negativity, right? Meaning that there's more risk to the downside. The sentiment is towards the downside. For example, I always talk about this, but this is a real number. On up days when the markets are up, the volume is, let's say, on the S&P 500 stocks, let's say it's 3.8 billion shares traded, right? On the downside, the number is 130% of the average daily volume. So the volume when the market is down is much higher than the volume when the market goes up. That tells you when sellers come in, the bulls are overwhelmed. The bears are overwhelming the bulls. So you're seeing sentiment in the market is negative right now. And I'm bearish on the markets. I think the best case scenario is if we have a trade deal and the market, you know, and the tariffs are off, that's going to be very stimulus for the economy as a whole. But given all the verbiage I've been hearing from China's and the US, that I just don't see a deal happening anytime soon. And that's scary. And I initially thought maybe 2-3 months additional for negotiation, then I think we'll have a deal. But the most recent verbiage, I've seen back and forth, the negotiation or just, you know, a talk from the politicians, I'm not very, very bullish on getting a deal done. And is the administration, the U.S. administration here in the U.S., are they going to be forced to put additional tariffs on the additional Chinese goods? And if that happens, I think the risk of a recession goes from 50 to 70%. And I think that's a major, major risk for this market and for our economy as a whole. Now, next topic would lead us to what is the Fed going to do? So in my mind, I initially thought that in the previous episodes I mentioned, I don't think the Fed's going to do anything this year. Now we have more information and more updated data. Now I think that the Fed maybe by the end of the year, at some point between now and the end of the year, the Fed may have to lower rates, cut Fed funds rate. And I think that may happen. And this is more likely than today than I thought just 2 weeks ago, because of all the fundamental data that has come out and the showing a lot of weakness. It is showing a lot of weakness. So if you're out there and you have a lot of money, you have a lot of gains, it may be prudent to rebalance your portfolio to the appropriate risk level. Because when equities rise, you know, those risk metrics go out of whack. You want to make sure you're rebalancing your portfolios based on what we're seeing fundamentally. And it's very natural for investors, very natural to be optimistic in an environment where we're seeing a lot of bearishness. But as investors, we have to be realistic about outcomes and be realistic about what are the possibilities and what are the headwinds. Now, if there is a case where you have a tariff deal, you have everything else, it's still possible for us to be in a recession, right? Because the damage could have all been done, right? We could be in a recession still, regardless if we have a deal done, because the business investments and the capital expenditures take time to do, and consumption and sentiment takes time to happen, right? For all that to change takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. So a lot of risks to the downside than to the upside. I hate to be bearish, but that's the way I'm currently seeing the data here. And be careful as investors. You know, make sure you have a decent amount of cash, some dry powder to take advantage of any downdrafts. So the chances of us breaking that support of 2800 on the S&P 500 are much higher today than they have been in the recent past. And to me, that is unsettling, very much unsettling here. So not a lot of great news. Our economy is definitely wounded. And I would say be prudent and use proper discretion in the way you're allocating your portfolios. Talk to your advisor on how they're allocating your portfolios as well. All right. You know, I ran up a little bit over our time of 20 minutes, of this podcast. And that's because I waited a little bit longer. I had a lot to say. And I do these podcasts on an as-needed basis. If I feel like there's a lot more information coming out and a lot more information that needs to be communicated. But between the last episode and this episode, we really haven't had a lot of information come out. The market has done exactly what we thought it would do. And I think that's something you, as investors, need to think about, and or as business owners, you need to think about that the economy is weak, and you have to be very, very careful, tread lightly here on risky assets. With that, hope you all have a wonderful weekend, long weekend. You know, happy Memorial Day to to all our servicemen out there. And I hope you all have some awesome barbecues out there. And I'm sure we're going to have some ourselves. So anyways, take care. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.